You are listening to Reverend Dr. Rob White from Athens Universal Life Church.
Let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come today looking again at some scriptures that we know will mean something to us once we go through them again. Each time we read your words, we get a new meaning out of them. And we know you did that on purpose so that we would always be searching, always be seeking, always be asking. And we just ask, Lord, that today not be any different. That we get a new meaning today. We learn something new about the scriptures today and what it means in our lives. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our gospel lesson today comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke 10, 38 to 42. While they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, have you ever been in a situation, maybe you're in a room or you're in an office building or something, and then all of a sudden someone turns on a radio or turns on a TV and turns it up really loud, and it just blows your thinking away, whatever you was concentrating on, maybe he's in a doctor's office, whatever. You're focused on that, all of a sudden it's gone. That distraction just caused you to derail, as it were. And maybe you can't right away remember what you were thinking about. But all of a sudden, this happens. We can be distracted by many things. We can be distracted by bright lights or certain colors or maybe a bad odor. Cell phones, a lot of people trying to talk at the same time. Maybe you've been in a situation where you've been trying to talk to someone. You needed to ask a question maybe. And you realize the person you're talking to isn't listening to you because their mind's off somewhere else or they've been distracted by something else. You get the idea that the other person isn't listening to you because they are distracted. Our scripture lesson today in the Bible talks about two sisters, Mary and Martha. They were friends of Jesus. Now, we've heard Mary and Martha before because they're also the sisters to Lazarus, who just a few chapters before this, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, as you'll remember that story. Jesus came to them. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and he went through Bethany, which is where Mary and Martha lived, and he stopped at their house. Now, Martha was busy doing a lot of things. She knew that she could have guests anytime, so she's cleaning and she's cooking and all this, and Jesus stops by. Well, her sister Mary stops what she's doing and sits down at Jesus' feet and starts listening to him teach. Martha complains about Mary not helping her do the things that should be done around the house. And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the good part." In other words, Mary's doing what she needs to do. Martha's doing what she needs to do. Now, we may feel that we've got a lot of things to do, but we also have to remember our friends and our family members and like that want to talk maybe to us when it's best that we stop what we're doing if we're really busy and focus on them. Or we want them to stop so they'll focus on us. In this way, we honor the person we're talking to in this case. We let them know that we really care what they're saying and what they're doing and what they have to say. Mary chose to become very quiet and listen to Jesus. She really wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And this is what we do when we pray and we worship God. We are listening to God's word. We're listening to God's voice, and we are honoring Him by what we're doing here today. Becoming very quiet and listening is another way of honoring God. There's a lot of ways of honoring God. Now, sometimes when you read a story like this, you have to wonder, is there any person at all that could ever please Jesus? Jesus seemed to be pretty outspoken to a lot of people, and he never went around and patted people on the shoulder and gave them an attaboy or an attagirl, and he didn't go around saying thank you a lot, and he mostly, it sounded critical, things that he would say. And he would often not tell a person that they had done well when they had done very well doing what they was doing. He didn't seem particularly concerned about bruising someone's self-esteem. If he could find something critical, it almost seemed like that's what he did. Sometimes Jesus could seem downright rude when we read the stories in the Bible, like the one today. And that happens in our gospel lesson today because it seems like Jesus is being very rude to Martha when Martha says, "Mary needs to be helping me, not sitting there talking to you or listening to you." Now, Jesus had been good friends with Mary and Martha and Lazarus for a long time. A lot of years, he had been to their home many times. This particular time was special for him because he was on his way to Jerusalem. On one occasion, he visited their home when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And a short time after that, Mary would anoint Jesus' feet with perfume and her hair. We remember that story. There's a number of parallels here between this story and the story told just before this, which is the story of the Good Samaritan. We all remember that story too. The Samaritan, he showed his love for his neighbor, even though it was someone he didn't even know, by taking an active role in helping out. He honored this relationship with like a horizontal love from one to another. Mary shows her love of Jesus by listening to him, to hear what he has to say, thus honoring a vertical relationship for a person to God. In the Samaritan story, of course, Jesus in the Greek says that he introduces a certain man. In this story in the Greek, it says a certain woman. The Samaritan sees what needs to be done. Mary hears what Jesus is saying. Moreover, both the Samaritan and Mary being a woman, the Samaritan being a man, they represent marginalized people. The Samaritan was an unlikely hero because he was helping a Jew. And the Samaritans in those days didn't like the Jews, and the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. And so very rarely, if their paths crossed, they would go on opposite sides of the street and they wouldn't talk to each other. In Mary's case, she's a woman, and she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. And in those days, that was a man's role. A woman's role was to be in the kitchen, fixing food, playing hostess, and doing things that a woman should do. Mary wasn't doing that. Both are model disciples, the Samaritan and Mary, because they are both there to hear the word of God. And not only hear it, but do it. These stories balance each other out because in the early part of the Good Samaritan story, it lifts up the love for God and for neighbor and for self. Jesus concludes his story of the Good Samaritan to go and do likewise. In other words, we're to treat everyone as our neighbor. It doesn't matter if they're Jew or Gentile or whatever. Calls for an active part of doing the discipleship here. The Martha-Mary story here is just the reverse because Jesus criticizes Martha for being too worried and too anxious and for getting on Mary for listening to him. She's doing what's called being a disciple by sitting at his feet and listening to his word. Perhaps the key to understanding this dichotomy is to emphasize not active or passive roles, but to do the appropriate part of discipleship to what the situation deems necessary. The wounded man was cared for by the Samaritan because he needed help. The Samaritan took him to an inn. He cleansed his wounds. He gave money to the innkeeper and says, "I'll be back. If you need more, you let me know." While Jesus is taking care of visiting Mary and Martha, well, there's food to be prepared and hospitality to be served and all this. Martha seems like she's doing all the work while Mary is just sitting around and listening to Jesus. Martha is offering physical food where Jesus is offering spiritual food, spiritually feeding Mary. Now, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus makes his visit, which will be his last visit to Martha and Mary, because Luke's telling us that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. That means he's on his way to die on the cross. It's going to happen very soon. Martha and Mary live in Bethany, which is about 2 miles from Jerusalem. Now, if you've ever walked a mile, you know how long it takes to walk. So, you know, in those days, that's all they did. They walked. But he's about 2 miles from Jerusalem, so he was probably the better part of the day from walking to Jerusalem. He stops off, and he wants to see Martha and Mary one last time before he goes off and dies, because he won't have the chance again. He knows this. And with Jerusalem just around the corner, he knows he doesn't have time to live. He's got some disciples with him, which he tells them to go off and do other things. And he visits Mary and Martha then on his own, as far as we know. Luke says that they were afraid to ask him. The disciples was afraid to ask him what he was doing, why he was going off to Martha and Mary and sending them off someplace else. Jesus' relationship to Martha and Mary kind of breaks the social norms of the first century, because Jesus was visiting women in their home, and a rabbi, a teacher with Jesus' stature, would not have done that in those days. They would have went to a synagogue or a temple and visited the rabbi. If the rabbi wanted to see them, they would come and see him. In this case, Jesus is breaking that little social bubble there by visiting women in their home by himself. We all know with today's society and all that that's not socially acceptable. Well, it wasn't socially acceptable back then either. Now, although we're told that Martha welcomes him into her house, it would not necessarily have been her house, because women didn't own property in those days. Lazarus being the brother, it would have been his house. Lazarus, we're not told if he's there or not. More likely not. But Martha is the one that welcomes Jesus in, so it becomes her house. She's kind of the alpha role model of the house. And we don't know if there was anyone else with Jesus at the time. We do know Martha's clearly in charge. And I think the reason that we don't, or we're not told that there's other people there, is because that would become a distraction for us from the story. If Luke says, well, Jesus and Matthew and Mark and all this, all the disciples was there and Lazarus was there. Well, now we've got a house full of people and it's hard to keep track of the main characters of the story. In this case, Luke says, Jesus, Martha, and Mary. It's that clear. It's into Martha's house, into her house. So we get an idea that Luke wants us to focus on these three main characters here. Now, Mary sits down at Jesus' feet to receive his teaching. This is the posture of a disciple. Not a woman, but a man. A man would sit at Jesus' feet. A woman would stand and be offering him food or drink or whatever, and wouldn't really be allowed to stand around and listen to Jesus. She'd have to listen from the other room or whatever. Luke's gospel frequently puts women in places of honor. And I don't know what the true reason for that is. We will know one day. But in recent years, many scholars have attempted to say that when Luke does this, he's introducing women into the ministry. Where in the Bible, in the first century, it was very male-centric, and you didn't see women in ministry roles. Here we're seeing Mary as a disciple. So this is introducing women into the ministry, which is still foreign to some denominations today. They still don't allow women in the ministry. This contrast here is not about women, but it's about discipleship and showing the love for Jesus and his teaching. Also, they're actively listening to what Jesus has to say. And we hear that from her sitting at Jesus' feet, she's also being fed and she's hearing the word. Now, on this particular occasion, Martha welcomes Jesus into her home, and we presume that it's Mary's home too, and it's Lazarus's home too. But of course, we're not told, and this is probably more to keep from the distraction. Now, presumably, Lazarus is probably there, or he may be out working or whatever when Jesus decides to visit. Also, in those days, the homes were quite small. So you couldn't host a big party in your home without having standing room only around. So maybe another reason Luke is only saying there was only three people in the home, because that might have been a pretty good crowd. We don't know, though. We do know that Martha was busy cooking and cleaning and being hospitable while Mary was doing the discipleship act of sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha is distracted by all these things, and we know how that feels. We know company's going to come over, so what's the first thing we do? We start rapidly cleaning the house and washing dishes and washing windows, and we do everything because we want them to look just spectacular when our guests get there. Even though our guests may be our brothers, our sisters, our siblings, our family, and they know we live like a slob, but we're going to work feverishly to clean things up. Martha was doing this. She was going through everything, cleaning and folding and putting up stuff. And then Jesus gets there and Mary stops what she's doing and starts listening to Jesus. And Martha can't stand this. You know, now she's leaving me alone to do all the work. I'm carrying the load. Martha is doing what people expect a woman to do in those days. She's doing her duty. She's preparing the dinner. She's offering the hospitality. She does everything while Mary isn't doing anything typical of a woman. Mary's neglecting her responsibilities, Martha thinks. Martha's paying the share for the price. Every responsible person sometimes feel that we're carrying more than our fair share, whether it be on a church committee or at work or at school or wherever. We feel that the person next to us just isn't carrying the load, And if they would only help just a little, this job would go a lot easier and a lot faster. It's too much, though, to expect for the responsible person to never feel resentment. The person that feels like they're carrying the load is always going to carry resentment. My wife and I have been watching a reality TV show on shooting, and it's called Top Shot, and it all revolves around these people that are supposed to be top marksmen, but they're in teams, and every time someone that's supposed to be a really good marksman misses the shot every time, the rest of the team resents them for it because they're not carrying their load, and so they have ill feelings. This is the way Martha was feeling towards Mary because she wasn't carrying her load properly. And there she is, furthermore, sitting at Jesus' feet just like a man would do it. But Jesus says, and he almost says it with a point of rudeness when he talks back to Martha because he's rebuking her, and he says, "Martha, Martha." You can almost hear the exasperation in his voice. "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled by many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." Now, Jesus repeats Martha's name twice as a rebuke. Be the same way as, I know my parents, your parents probably the same way, when they called you by every one of your God-given names, you were in trouble. And we always knew that, my sisters and I growing up. And by Jesus going, "Martha, Martha," he was rebuking her by calling her God-given name. He notes her distraction is greater than her hospitality. Certainly he welcomes the food and he welcomes all this that Martha's doing, but he welcomes the discipleship more because he's teaching Mary, who's going to be one of the people more likely to carry on in a few days after Jesus is gone. He's on the road to Jerusalem to die on the cross. This will be the final visit to his dear friends, and he probably won't see many more dear friends in the next few days before he dies. Martha and Mary need Jesus, and Martha's busyness distracts her from seeing him. Jesus needs Martha and Mary too. He knows what awaits him when he gets to Jerusalem. He needs good friends now more than he needs good food. Martha may have allowed herself to be distracted, but this is also part of an escape for her because she's uncomfortable with what Jesus is doing in her home by allowing Mary to sit at his feet. So she goes and hides in the kitchen, fixing food and drinks and all this, and doing her part while, you know, she's too uncomfortable to be in front of Jesus right now. If Martha heard Jesus tell the disciples that he was on his way to die on the cross, then she might have even hidden anymore, because like the disciples, she wouldn't have understood and she wouldn't have wanted to hear that he's going to go die. He wouldn't be around for a long time. The better part that Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet was not only listening, but being a disciple. There's going to be time enough for action in the coming days. The disciple first has to learn from the master what to do and how to do it. Otherwise, the disciple's going to get busy and forget or not do some of the things that they need to do to be a disciple. Jesus gives priority here to the hearing of the word, and rather it should come from God's messenger than maybe from somebody else, but this is coming straight from God's son to Mary. That means a lot. And this takes over any kind of preoccupation that Mary might have had because she's hearing the word straight from Jesus. Basically, a deacon, anyone that is doing God's word, anyone that's being God's disciple, that bypasses the word, they will never have a long-lasting character. Whereas listening to Jesus' word is the lasting good that will never be taken away from a listener. Now, this has implications for us today because today, let's face it, we're busy doing a lot of things. We too, we're troubled and we're distracted. And we too need to choose the better part. We need to sit at the Master's feet. We need to steep ourselves in prayer. We need to seek the Lord's direction. And only then can we be assured that our busyness will further the Lord's business. Only then can we expect the Lord to bless any of our work. I think if I had been Martha and this was going on, I would have said, okay, fine, I'm done. I turned off the stove. I shut everything down. I'm going to go in. I'm going to sit at Jesus' feet. And you guys can just go hungry. I think that's how I would have handled it, being, you know, the way Martha's handling it here. And you're right, I'm distracted, I'm worried, but you know, you guys want to be fed. I can hear your stomachs rumbling. You want food. Well, too bad. You get it when you get it. I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to listen. I'm fine. That's how I would have handled it. Of course, you know, then sitting around listening to Jesus and the stomachs rumbling and all this, and I'd be tempted to say, aren't you hungry yet? Let's rub it in a little bit. I'm so sorry, but there's nothing to eat. You'll just have to wait. You might want to gloat. You might want to, you know, go outside to where you don't hear the stomachs rumbling. Or you might want to think, well, it serves you right. Next time that you want to interrupt me and not let me do my job because you're not letting my sister do the job, well, let's just see how quick you get fed that time. A little hunger might do you good. The irony, of course, is that just a few days earlier than this story, Jesus fed thousands of people with 2 loaves and 5 fish. And he still had 12 baskets of food left over. Martha's not thinking about that, I'm sure. You know, when she's thinking maybe that, you know, this would serve them right if I don't get this done. Because Jesus will always provide. God will always provide. If Martha had stopped what she was doing and had went in and sat at Jesus' feet, they still would have had a feast. Jesus would have taken care of everybody. Everyone would have been fed. And there probably would have been a lot of food left over. Jesus would have provided. It's also worth noting that just prior to this story was the Good Samaritan story, like I said. In that story, the hero was a person just like Martha. He was a doer. He was on the road and he was going somewhere and he probably had business to take care of, but yet he sees the man laying on the side of the road almost dead. He stops, uses his own bandages, his own salve and all that, which in those days was probably rare for people to have, cleans the guy up, puts him on his donkey, walks back to wherever they were going to, takes him to an inn, drops him off, says, take care of him, here's some money. He doesn't even know this guy, but he's taking care of him. And this guy was a busy man, but he got his hands dirty when no one else would touch a dying man because that was considered unclean. He got his hands dirty and he took care of him. And he became the unlikely hero. He was not going to say, well, I'm too busy to do it, because he got blessed for doing it by taking time out to do it. Because there was plenty of time to do whatever he was going to do. He was taking care of this person. He was doing the Lord's work. What we got to ask ourselves, though, is why didn't Jesus encourage Martha in a similar way here? In her busyness, she too was taking care of people, but why not make Martha the hero of this story instead of Mary? Note the Good Samaritan provided the wounded victim with all the care and that he needed, down to the medical care and seeing to it that he was taken care of. But this situation with Mary and Martha was a little different. His time was growing short. He only had days before he would die on the cross. Soon he would enter Jerusalem and he would never leave Jerusalem again alive. Well, alive as we know alive. He came to visit Mary and Martha for the very last time, and he didn't need a fancy last meal in order to make this complete. He needed time with his friends. Furthermore, Mary and Martha needed time with Jesus, because in the future, they would look back on this last visit and realize this was a truly special moment that Jesus had provided them. Jesus was a man that everybody wanted to see. Everywhere he went, they would flock around him. And he came to their home. He gave them a special presence in their home. He honored them with his presence. He had a little time remaining, and he chose to spend it with them. He could have went anywhere. He could have went to Disneyland, maybe. I don't know. He could have went anywhere, but he chose to spend it with Mary and Martha. And it would be a tragedy if Martha ended up spending all of her time in the kitchen and no time with Jesus. Now, we are like Martha. We're busy, we're worried, we're distracted by a lot of things. We try to balance our life. We try to balance our friends and our family and our church and our work and all of our different things in life. And we can't do it all, but we try to do it. And like Martha, we grow resentful because other people aren't pulling their share of the load. We get critical of our spouse, like our husband that doesn't help around the house, or our wife because she's always nagging about money, or we're critical of coworkers who don't share our dedication to the job. We're critical of our children who won't keep their rooms neat and tidy and clean. Is this a happy way of life? Of course not. Is there a way out? Yes, there is. We need to spend a little more time at Jesus' feet. We need to spend a little more time reading the scriptures, a little more time in prayer, a little more time getting centered, a little more time away from our everyday busyness, a little more time letting the Lord have his way in our lives, a little time letting the Lord set the direction for our day, and a little time at Jesus' feet. This is what Jesus called the better part when he said Mary had the better part. He said that she had chosen the better part. And if we will choose the better part, Jesus will fill us with his presence. He'll help us sort out all of our tangles. He'll help us do the most important of things and accept the fact that we can't do everything. He'll help us avoid becoming resentful and becoming a nagging person. A little more time with Jesus is to the human being what oil is to an automobile. With it, everything else runs smoothly. Of course, two questions here. First, can we afford to spend a little more time with Jesus each day? The answer is, of course, no. We're just too busy. We can't afford to take the time. We're too busy. There are too many claims on our lives, and it sounds like a great idea, but I just can't fit it in right now. It's just not practical to do it. And the second question is, can we afford not to spend a little more time with Jesus each day? Can we afford to continue on with our worries and our distractions? Can we afford to spend our days going this way and that way without any guiding light to set our direction? Can we afford to go through life with our deepest needs unmet, with a hollow place at the center of our lives? Can we afford to be like Martha, too busy, too worried, too distracted to find pleasure in life? But let's also be sensitive to those who express their love for family, friends, and Jesus by working in the kitchen. Does this story validate their hard work? Hardly. Jesus has used the services of good cooks to nourish lives and to save souls. And the story of Mary and Martha does not teach us that it's better to sit than to do. It teaches us to discern, to set priorities carefully, to seek out the better thing, the good portion, whatever that might be in the situation we find ourselves. And again, let us remember the relationship of this story to the parable of the Good Samaritan. There's a time to go and do. There's a time to listen and reflect, knowing which is a matter of spiritual discernment. And if we were to ask Jesus which example applies to us today, the Good Samaritan example or the Mary and Martha example, his answer would probably be yes. You think about that one for a minute. Try an experiment this week. Set your alarms for 15 minutes earlier. Get up, turn on the coffee pot, sit down with your Bible for a few minutes, and just read one story from one of the Gospels. Just one story. And spend a couple of minutes reflecting on that story and how it might affect your life. Spend a few minutes in prayer and ask Jesus to help you that day. Ask Jesus to help you get your heart in the right place. Then pray for your husband or your wife. Pray for your children. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your enemies. Then say amen. And then go about your business. 15 minutes at Jesus' feet will change your day. 15 minutes at Jesus' feet will also change your life. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your words today. Words that, as always, are meaningful to us. Words that show us that, yes, your words still today are relevant in our lives. And also, not only that, but showing us what to do, these words affect us, how these words can also change us. And we just thank you, Lord, for that. We ask as we go about our days today, whether it's going back and having dinner at a friend's house or whatever, just be with us, keep a hedge of protection around us. Always bless and keep us, Lord. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen.
I've always considered myself a Martha, but you know, I had a friend who had a wonderful home and wonderful things, but I dropped in to see her, and she made me feel like her house was a mess, but she made me feel like I was more important than that mess, because she never apologized.
Right.
And I thought, how wonderful.
Yeah, that is. That's great. Well, yeah, there's a lot of us are Marthas, and we don't think about it until we look at the story, you know, in depth, but we don't think about how much we are Marthas, because we do tend to let life get in the way. I mean, I'm just as bad as anybody else. If someone says, well, can you go do this, you know, next weekend? Well, I'm sorry, I'm busy, I'm doing something else. I don't have time.
Not giving God time, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
We don't have an excuse.
Exactly. Exactly. But still, there again, a friend of mine, he retired a few years ago, and he said, you know, I thought I was busy when I was working. I'm busier now than I'm retired. And he's always on the go. And he was a busy man when he was working. But, you know, with grandkids and great-grandkids and like that. And he says, yeah, I mean, I'm always going here, there, and yonder. And you know, and he has to stop and smell the roses every once in a while.
But, you know, in here, we don't have that excuse, I don't think.
True.
You know, I just don't think.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Go out this week, be a blessing, and be blessed. Because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for coming. And just as a reminder, we won't be here next week. You know, there's three times a year usually that we can't make it on Sunday, and this is one of those. So we will be here the following week, though. So open your Bibles next week, if nothing else, and watch a TV preacher, whatever, or just get together as a group. That's what you can do. Thank you for coming.